To the Ether. Today is Wednesday, January 26, 2022. This episode of the Ether is brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Take advantage of their Terra Luna Intel report on Telegram, which brings you the hottest news and updates on all things Terra. Use the link in the show notes to find it. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. TerraSpaces appreciates their support. Today on the Ether, we have a two-part space hosted by Thames. Let's talk NFTs, diversity in NFT, women in NFT, black NFT. Let's take a listen.
In the UK. Cool. So I'm going to get started in a bit. I'm just waiting for a few more people to come in. I can see a couple requests. So we're going to let some people come up to speak as well, and then we can really get started. I think there's going to be a lot of people with, you know, some really interesting and some really good questions. Hey, Pawn, my man, how are you, man?
Doing good. Can y'all hear me?
Not sure. Yeah, definitely, man. For sure. Perfect.
And
I realize that in this space, I call you Pawn, and I'm not trying to fake it. I think it's because it's less of a corporate space, for lack of a better word, than the Tech UK room. Tech UK space.
I'm here pretty much like I got some. I'm coding in the background, but I'm up here just so my Web3 people could see me. So like my Web3 people, like nice. RR, he just pulled up. He's huge in Web3, so I'm trying to get them up here. The rest of them, like Ilhan and the gang, all the meta. I'm just inviting them up because these are people who they know their stuff when it comes to Web3 and NFT. So. I'm pretty much just trying to give that. Yeah. Once they see me up here, they're going to jump in. So
I appreciate that, Pawn. I appreciate you, dude. Thank you so much. Awesome. This is great, man. We've got some speakers. We've got a bunch of people in here. We are going to get started in a moment. We're just making sure that we have all the relevant people in the space so we can get started. Give me 2 more minutes. We're going to start by explaining what NFTs are, and I think that's a good starting point because I know there are different people in the space with different sort of levels of understanding and sort of experience dealing with NFTs, so I'm conscious of that, so I don't want to assume everyone knows what NFTs are. And to be honest, even the people that know are still trying to get to know because it's so very new. The technology is about 5 or 6 years old, but just the commercialization of it is very new. So definitely an interesting time to be around. Jess, how are you?
Hi, Thames. I'm fantastic. How are you?
All good. Can't complain. Tell us about your Avi right now, Jess.
It's so cool.
Oh, thank you. So this is actually an NFT profile picture. Twitter has recently launched this feature under their Twitter Blue platform. And so if you have NFTs, you can actually upload your NFT to your Twitter account. And so you will know if somebody's NFT is connected because you'll see their profile instead of a circle being a hexagon. And actually, if you click the photo of the hexagon, you can actually go to their OpenSea account and get all the information you might want to know about that particular NFT. So you'll find out about like the artist, the price if it's available. You'll find out literally other things in that collection. So it's a great feature, I think. I think it's very, very early in its adoption phase, but I've been playing around with it and I really enjoy it. So thank you, Thames.
Awesome, awesome. And for some reason, I can't get Twitter Blue. I'm not sure if it's a UK thing. So if you're in the UK, yo.
I think it hasn't launched yet in the UK. I thought it did, but I was looking through the articles and I saw that it said that they're still working on it, but also that was written 2 months ago. So I don't know if it has launched in the UK, but if anybody knows, please share with Thames and Shem.
Boo.
It has, definitely. But I wanted to say real quick, could you bring up double R? There's a guy in a thing called RRRR. Could you send him an invite? RR, yo, send a request, bro. He's huge in this space. He's a beast. He's a dev and he knows all about NFTs and all. Yeah, so. Bring him up, please.
Yeah, if you just request, we can definitely bring you up, bro. Happy to, and definitely want to connect with you as well. I just followed you now. I'm actually looking for a co-founder who's either a blockchain or a gaming developer. But that's not what this is about right now. But so really excited to, we're gonna kick it off anyway. But I just want to say, hi, RR, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the stage.
Nice one. Where are you at?
I'm based in Seattle, Washington.
Cool. Can I guess, are you at Microsoft?
No, I've never worked for a tech company.
Oh, cool. Every time I hear Seattle, I always assume Microsoft, Seattle, Washington. But hey, that's fine.
Oh, Amazon's actually bigger here. So Amazon's.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Who knew? Cool. All right, thank you for coming through anyway into this space. We're going to get started, and we're going to start by trying to define NFTs in a simple way as possible. So I could, do all the speaking and everything else, but I'm happy we have a stage full of people that know their stuff. But what I do want to say is I'm not coming from a position as an expert, and I'm just going to keep it real with everyone. I'm also learning. I've only been doing research about this for about 4 months, maybe even a bit less, three or four months, and I've only started buying NFTs myself since yesterday, actually. Yeah, Jess put me on, so I bought my first NFTs yesterday, and I have a whole storyline about that as well. Super exciting stuff. But let me introduce myself, actually, so you know exactly who I am. I'm Thames. So I have a day job where I'm the VP of talent at a tech company based in London. It's called MVF. If you look at my bio, all of sort of my activities, business and sort of career activities are on there. I also co-founded Tech UK with Sham, which is a super dynamic, super exciting platform where we help people get into the tech space, whether it's entry level roles or whether it's experience level roles. We basically help people not only get into tech, but also be great, shine, be dynamic, do great things, progress within their careers within tech, etc. And also we have a mission to make tech more inclusive. As we know, being a minority in tech myself, I know how many black people or Asians or people of color, male, female, whatever, come and go. And it can get quite discouraging. So sometimes it's not even about diversity. I think tech's trying to be diverse, but it's not always trying to be inclusive. So when they have diversity, people don't always stick around. So Sham and I are big in that for Tech UK. And I also recently founded Wholesome NFTs, which is basically going to be a platform to do two things: help people and educate people around NFTs, how to make money from NFTs, how to be successful, how to understand NFTs, etc. And also we're going to have a whole sort of Wholesome World, a whole platform where you can enter the metaverse via Wholesome World. And there's a lot of things coming up in the background around that. I don't want this to be too much about self-promotion right now. I kind of want this to be an open discussion about NFTs for now, but that's just a bit about me. So really, really excited to host this space from a position of humility. I know a bit, but I'm conscious that I don't know everything. I'm not sure anyone that does know everything, but that's neither here nor there. That's not really my business. But we are going to get the conversation started. Does anyone want to take us, any one of the speakers, or if you're in the audience and you want to answer the question, what are NFTs? This is your chance to, sort of raise a request and we'll let you up. Does anyone want to take a stab at answering what NFTs are?
NFTs, how are you doing? Okay. I am balls deep in NFTs. I actually got, when I heard you say just got you in NFTs, it spreads, okay? The NFT spreads like wildfire, okay? The enthusiasm behind it, because even if you're not in the art world, even if you are, there's something to be said about creativity, right? You see a piece of artwork that inspires you, that, you know, that moves you, that makes you feel some type of way. I talked just about NFTs like 2-3 days ago. The first NFT she got actually ended up being a timepiece NFT that exploded in value like a day later. But initially she didn't know anything about the value, anything about the cost, none of that stuff. She bought it because she liked the art. And from there, like, I have to kind of like monitor her, because she'll be up on OpenSea at like 3-4 in the morning, trying to
Literally me yesterday.
I know. That was literally me. I saw your retweet of Justice, and yeah, I'm like, yeah, here we go. You know, but it's fun though. It's better that I'd rather somebody spend all day long on OpenSea than all day long on Amazon. You know what I'm saying? Because you buy physical products, but you know, if I buy a shirt that, you know, whatever it costs, if I buy like a $200 Fendi shirt or whatever, I don't know, it won't increase in value. You know, whatever I spent on it, that's it. You know, I can't return it somewhere unless I try to go flip it on eBay or something. But NFTs, art, you can't really put a value on that, you know, and that's why you'll see CryptoPunk selling for $1 million, Bored Ape selling for $400,000. And to anybody who really doesn't even know what an NFT is, it's basically like anything in the physical just made digital. That's the best way I like to describe it. It could be music, it could be tickets, it could be a photo, a video. If you take photos, if you paint, if you draw, anything you do in the creative space, you need to start making NFTs. Like, it is not even an option at this point. You need to make whatever you do already good. You're already good at what you do. Just make it digital. There is nothing. It's so simple to just upload your art or your paint drawing or your music. Just upload it and make it digital. Because what it does, it makes your work more widely accessible to the world. You know, somebody, you don't have to go stand on the street corner or curate your art at a museum or find a gallery that will maybe show your art. You know, the NFT I bought last night, a 13-year-old artist designed it. It's like an Afro Puff girl. I'll post it up. But she could be in Arkansas in her bedroom, and her work is shown to the planet, and she doesn't have to move a muscle. She has 500 editions of that, and whatever the price that, once she prices them out and she sells out, like, that's a lot of money for a 13-year-old. At 13 years old, I was not thinking about NFTs. I wish I was, but I wasn't. I'd be rich. I wouldn't even be on this call right now. I'd be on a yacht. But it definitely opens.
Dang, Matt.
Go ahead. It definitely opens a lot of gateways and new avenues for connecting with people and connecting with art. I don't want to go on too long, but because I see Punk out of town. What's up?
I want to ask you a question, though, because I'm glad you're talking about this stuff in this direction. Mm-hmm. So you know how the music industry is. Like, I'm in tech, but I'm also a singer, and like, okay, I really don't want to get into singing, like the politics of it, what you call it, labels and all that stuff. I have no time for it. I really do not. How can I take advantage of like being able to write and sing? Jess has heard me sing.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I take advantage of that with NFTs? With NFTs and what we got going on with the digital age?
Okay, so there's an artist, and I posted his NFT today. It's an artist called Dylan, D-Y-L, if you search for him on Twitter. I should probably try to drag him in his space if we're talking about music. Actually, I will. I'm going to invite him to this space, and he'll talk about his music for any musicians in the crowd. But Dylan, what he's able to be done, he's independent, okay? He put out his album and minted it as an NFT. So you could buy his single as an NFT. He takes the MP3 file, whatever the song is, he uploads it as an NFT, and he markets his song. And if you buy the NFT, you're essentially buying the song. You could also do this with the album. You can have 12 songs or 10 songs, 5 songs, whatever, and then you upload that album as an NFT. If you go to, once you start getting into the creative process of making NFTs, you'll find OpenSea. Like, let's say you mint on OpenSea, right? You go on OpenSea and you'll hit upload. You're going to see so many different file types. You're going to see JPEG. You're going to see MP4. You're going to see MP3. You're going to see .wav, .mov. So there's so many different type of ways you can upload that. And you and actually, the music industry is terrified of NFTs because it destroys their the process that's been put in place for years. So you could, with NFTs with music, you have a direct-to-consumer base. You don't have to go through nobody.
Exactly.
You're your own label. You can sell directly to your fans. You can sell tickets directly to your fans. You can sell merch directly to your fans. You could pawn as a singer. You could say, if you buy my NFT, you also will get this free airdrop. You also get backstage tickets to my show, but you can only buy, you can only do that with the NFT. At the US Open, if you bought the US Open NFT, you got to meet Serena Williams. That just happened. This is recent. If you bought one of the US Open NFTs, you got to meet one of the tennis players. But you had to do you had to buy the NFT to have access to that. AMC with movie theaters. AMC, I got an AMC NFT. AMC movie theater issued 500,000 AMC NFTs to their investors last year before December. If you got that NFT, going forward, you'll be able to get like advanced screenings. They just emailed me like 3 days ago. I'm gonna go see the advanced screening of Moonfall, which comes out February 9th. But if you have an AMC NFT, you get to see it January 26th, which would be today. I can go see it at 7 o'clock if I wanted to. So it's little stuff like that, especially with the entertainment industry, that they're taking advantage with NFTs though. I'm gonna see if I can bring Dylan in here to clarify.
Appreciate
that,
you for that, man. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, because I'm like, go ahead, bro.
Nah, because it's something that I've been thinking about, but I really like couldn't fit all the pieces together. So like, I'm glad that we have this kind of conversation, this kind of space, because these are the kind of questions that we want to have. So if people up in here, if you have questions like that, please come up, man, because we're here.
If you was looking for a sign, this is your sign. Do it.
100%, bro. 1,000,000%.
Bro, like I would write and sing and just be like, you know what? Like I even have a manager and he's like, yo, let's get out here and do. I'm like, dude, I really don't. If you know Rising Rap, look them up. I literally actually had a tech project with them and they're like, yo, come to Miami and let's have you like in a studio. And I'm like, look, this is a problem. I'm not trying to be doing all this stuff, moving around with y'all. I want to be in my house writing code and singing. That's it, you know?
Nice one. Paul, bro, listen, your voice, your talking voice is super lit. So I can only imagine you've got like an Isley Brothers vibe to your voice. Or I was going to say R. Kelly, but he's cancelled. But yeah, man, definitely do it, bro. And I was going to say as well. An idea that I have for you, Paul, as well, like what some musicians are doing that I've spoken to in this space is they're releasing 100 of their albums, for example, or even like some singles to NFT holders, obviously charging a premium for it, but that also gives them exclusive access to like maybe like masters, exclusive tracks, the tracks that won't be released, exclusive tracks that won't be released to the general public. But it also helps you build a hype and build a following and build people that can actually evangelize your song for you on your behalf. And also bear in mind that if you attach the NFT to like really nice album art as well, so you give them music and album art, they can use that as their, you know, as their display pictures, as their avatars, and that's literally promotion for you and your album, and that you can literally take that to the world. So I think it's definitely a good opportunity for you, Pawn. I believe in you, dude, and I'll definitely be purchasing as long as it's not too many ethers. But yeah,
I got you, bro.
Cool. So we're gonna keep it bold, Pawn. Exactly. So we're going to continue the conversation. I think Matt's answer was really good around what is an NFT. I'm going to also offer some perspective as well. I'm not going to talk too much on this one, but we all know it's non-fungible tokens. But what does that really mean? And I think sometimes people get too wrapped up in art. And Matt rightly said it's not just art. It's not just pictures. It's any digital asset, literally. And I think it's going to go beyond digital asset to any physical asset can be NFTI. So even like physical property can have an NFT attached to it. For example, someone said, I think it was Gary V, he said marriage certificates. People are going to be getting married and they'll be given NFTs on the back of that. So it's any digital asset. But what makes it an NFT is it's the fact that it's on the blockchain. Being on the blockchain, it's verifiable. So everyone can verify globally, especially with a smart contract on a blockchain, that it belongs to you, and it can verify authenticity as well. That's the element we need to remember. It's not just a digital asset. It's a digital asset that's on the blockchain that's been verified as authentic. So that's sort of my take on it. I don't want to add too much to what Matt said, because I think Matt was spot on. But I see Jess and Nikita with their hands up. So Jess, you can go first, and then Nikita.
Thank you, Thames. So I just want to preface before we dive into the conversation, preface this by saying none of this is financial advice. Do your own due diligence. We are not liable for anything, okay? So thank you. So now that that's out of the way, wanted to also say I co-founded an investment community on Clubhouse. And now we're here on Twitter, but we're called Pre-Market Movers. And we have been kind of like trying to learn a little bit more and investigate the NFT space, because we're more like stocks and crypto. And I guess my gateway to NFTs was investing and trading crypto. So I am saying that to say, going back to Thames's point about other utilities for NFTs, one of the companies that I, for transparency, am a holder of is WISeKey. So they are a cybersecurity, AI, IoT company. and so they are actually launching a white label, I'll be right back. Sorry, guys. They're launching a white label NFT marketplace, and it's going to be more for like companies and businesses and organizations, because what they are going to do is actually house different contracts, like legal contracts on there. So kind of like what Thames was saying about marriage certificates and things like that, they're going to have like actual like, you know, corporate documents, and kind of be like a storage house for that. So that is just one future utility of the NFT as well.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Jess. Nikita, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a quick question, because it's all about NFTs. So as everyone can see very clearly, like everywhere, it's one of the most booming industries, and there are like so many spaces going on. Even like just if I go into the spaces section and type NFT, I can maybe see 20 spaces. So my quick question is, like, because as a newbie, for me, it's a new industry and I don't have that much of knowledge about it. So someone who is a newbie and someone who don't have experience around it, what, according to you guys, because you kind of an expert and you know much more than I know about it, so what do you suggest for someone like me who's a newbie? From where should we start talking about or even hearing about NFTs? And also, what is the best way to not feel overwhelmed? Because sometimes I go into the spaces, I mean random spaces, and I feel overwhelmed with the kind of like information being shared there. So what is the best way and the right way to actually get into this and not feeling overwhelmed, not getting confused? And also one more thing, FOMO. I think I personally feel sometimes FOMO, fear of missing out, when I see so many NFT spaces and so many people talking about it, and I have literally no clue. And last thing, whom to trust? Because credibility is one thing which is really, really important. So what is the best way to have or to follow someone who is credible in this particular space? And how we can be sure that, okay, this person is giving this advice, should we go ahead with this? Thanks, Thames, for having me.
No problem, Nikita. That is a great, great, great question. I'm gonna let Matt speak, and then Uchelis, and then Dels. But before you speak, Matt, I just want to say that credibility question, that credibility point, and who to trust is so key. I don't want to say a victim, but I've already been bumped in this space, and I just started. I've already been scammed out of a bit of money. Luckily, I didn't bet the house and the farm and everything on NFTs. But saying that, I'm pissed off with the money that I lost. But you know what? I'm not going to say anything for now. I'll let Matt and the other speakers talk, and I'll probably speak last. Go ahead, Matt.
So Nikita, I'm going to pivot this question to because I want Jess to share her real life experience about her first NFT experience and how I taught her. And go ahead, Jess, because literally she learned everything. Like, go ahead, Jess.
Okay, so yeah, that's
from beginning to end.
Perfect.
From you asking me about NFTs.
Right. So I was literally going to tell you, Nikita, follow Matt and reach out to him because that's like literally what happened. So I was in a random like parenting space that I found from someone that I follow that just ended up in the spaces. And it was like three people in there when I came in, me, Matt, and the host. So we were just chilling. Like, it was cool. We were talking about our children and like our parenting experiences, et cetera, et cetera. And then somehow the conversation pivoted into NFTs, and I saw that Matt was in the NFT space. So I followed him, and I kind of was like being a creep and following him into NFT spaces throughout the week. So, you know, I eventually felt comfortable with the information he was providing and the people that he was also associating with. And I slid in his DMs respectfully to inquire about NFTs, because let me tell y'all something. I have been asking people, my friends, my family, to teach me about NFTs for so long, and no one was trying to help me. Like, even my brother, he lived with me for six. Well, you know what? That doesn't even matter. So what happened was Matt reached out to me and we set up an appointment for the next day. I don't know what his calendar is looking like, but you might want to try to make that happen. And he literally onboarded me that day from start to finish into the NFT space, showed me everything from like OpenSea to navigating MetaMask to making transfers to different blockchain networks that NFTs might be available on, literally from start to finish. And then also took time to kind of browse with me and help me to identify an NFT that spoke to me, that I really resonated with. And it was a really good experience because, you know, we got to look at a couple different collections. He helped me stay in my budget because y'all know how I do. So it was just very, very helpful. And I ended up getting an NFT. My budget, I didn't want to go over $100. I wanted to be reasonable and I didn't want to, you know, like cry if it went left. So it was 90 and it was like from the Time Magazine Timepieces collection. I didn't know at the time a call, but I just thought it was cute. You know, it was a cute little robot and it had like heart eyes and a cat coming out of it. So I was like, oh, this is cute. So I just bought it. And then also too, Matt helped me to kind of look through the creator, look through the project, and confirm its
validity. Jess, let me say something.
Yeah.
Let me say something. Let me jump in right quick, Jess. I wanted her to share that how I told her the reason why people get overwhelmed with NFTs is because sometimes you can be told too much information. Somebody who's a newbie, you're not going to talk to them about floor price. And Alf, and there's some shit they just don't know. And they, like, they, if you coming into a space, they don't care about because they don't know. So I told Jess, do this, download MetaMask. I don't, even if she never heard of MetaMask, like, even if you learn how to drive a car, there's no way you're gonna learn how to drive a car by sitting eating Doritos in your living room. No, I'm gonna give you the keys. We're gonna go out to this Honda Civic, and I'm gonna have you drive, and you're gonna hit a couple garbage cans on the side of the street. But the only way you're going to learn how to do this stuff and be comfortable with it is actually doing it. Like, when I talk to people about NFTs and crypto, and then you ask them, well, did you download Coinbase? No. Did you know what OpenSea is? Have you looked at the website? No. So you just want to be told a lot of information without actually doing nothing. You know what I'm saying? So when I got on the phone with Jess, I said, all right, you want the NFT? You want to know about NFTs? Download MetaMask right now. She's like, oh, okay, all right. Downloading now. All right. I said, okay, cool. You're gonna get 12 key phrases. Write them 12 key phrases down. All right. All right. Okay, cool. Now I need you to get Ethereum. Connect your debit card to your Coinbase account and send Ethereum. So we're literally doing that over the phone. Then I'm telling her about websites. Go on OpenSea. Now, there's a lot of information I left out purposely because I just want her to get the basics. I want her to get onboarded. Now that she's in, the other day, Jess was like, why are people calling each other degenerates? I was like, well, degenerate is actually a term of endearment in the NFT space. It means, like, you know, you're basically a crackhead for NFTs. Like, it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing that we're calling each other degenerates. Like to so that. now along the way, she asks questions about those little minute details, like what's trading value, what's floor, you know what I'm saying? But because she's already in it, she's more intimately known about the details. Now she cares about these kind of things because she owns an NFT herself. So a lot of the education definitely has to come from, if somebody's talking too much about what you should be doing when it comes to the NFT space and education is fine, is very fine. But taking action is another way. Taking action is actually more important than receiving information. If you never do anything with the information you're giving, it's a wash. You just like people talking to you. And I don't know, if you like people talking to you, you better go grab some audiobooks on Amazon Kindle and people will talk to you all day long.
Do you know what? That's so true, because I've been researching this for months and months. So all the theory I have, not all the theory, that's a bit arrogant and short-sighted. I have a lot of theoretical knowledge, but I've learned more in the last 24 hours when I actually had skin in the game. I bought some good NFTs on the back of Jess and Matt's suggestions. And then I also bought some duds as well. And I learned way more from the duds than the good ones. So I'm learning a hell of a lot. And I've learned most of my learnings in 24 hours, like way before I planned to do this room. I had no expectation that I was going to be telling a story about how I've already lost money in the NFT game. So I'm more than happy to tell everyone that, but just not right now. You're going to have to wait for that one. But I've learned a hell of a lot from doing that. Saying that, Nikita, does that answer your questions?
Yeah, sure. Thanks a lot, Matt and Jess. I think definitely journey should start from there. And I would definitely try to do the research and make sure that I get the right information. I start from there. But thanks a lot for sharing and for adding value.
Well, I wanted to...
Can I add something to what Matt said?
Yes, sir. Who's speaking, please?
Yes, Chemical Brother.
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, so... first of all, I told Sham I'll be here for just a little bit because I have a meeting. So, yeah, I just want to like add something to what Matt said. Yeah, so for people trying to get into NFTs, right, you just have to understand that NFTs work with cryptocurrency, and you have to actually have like a little knowledge of how cryptocurrency works. Do you understand? Just like Matt said, yeah, don't consume too much information at first. When you're learning something, when you're learning how to walk, when you're learning how to ride your bicycle, right, you actually start from the basic. If you say, oh, I'm going to do a backflip, right, from there, you're going to injure yourself and break your neck, right? And that's how a lot of people get scared. And people have told about NFTs, right, and cryptocurrency. Some of them always say, oh, people that have like, you know, come to them before, told them before, you know, they just rush them through and like it feels like it's so much work, but it's not like it's so much work, but it's just like a step-by-step process, right? It's just like, okay, if you can explain to people, first of all, this goes for people trying to get, you know, their family members, their friends and people to, you know, invest in these things to see a way forward there, right? Like, especially people around you, you're trying to put them on, right? This also goes to them. If you're trying to get them to, you know, onboard them onto the NFT space, cryptocurrency space, anyhow you want to do it, right? You can start from like showing them real life examples. For example, right, like talking about what NFTs are, okay, you can just give them an example that it's just like, you know, personalized stuff, things that are unique, things that are very unique. Like you can have like Steph Curry's mouthpiece and it can be an NFT because like it's just that one that he used in that game. Let's say he used the mouthpiece in the NBA 2015 finals, right? That could be, you can use it to relate with them, right? Like, okay, if that is digital, right? And it's like it's tied to digital assets, right? Like that's an NFT for you. Just like, you know, musicians nowadays, you know, they're trying to like get into the NFT space, photographers and all that. Like you're just going to tell them, you know, take it to them like from the scratch. Look at it that oh, you're trying to like, you know, raise EB because like people need to get into this space, right? Don't take too much information in, right? Just take it step by step. But first of all, the basics, understand how cryptocurrency works. You cannot just come and like, you know, come into the NFT space, right? That like that, and like you don't understand like a thing or two about cryptocurrencies and how they work, like how it affects NFTs and like everything that has to do with it, right? Like, so just take it step by step. I feel like a lot of people miss that aspect where they just try to like jump in. I've seen a lot of people that like just try to jump in. And also, it is not a get rich quick scheme. You need to sound it right. If you want to be a creator, a collector, anything, and like people have to understand that it's not like a get rich quick scheme that, oh, you're trying to like just flip and stuff like that. You end up losing a lot of money, especially if you like follow the crowd to do stuff, right? You have to like take it easy, take it from the start and start moving up, like follow people that are relevant. Nikita says something about like who is she going to trust, right? You have people that probably you've seen them tweeting a couple of stuff about like NFTs. I know that like sometimes people don't tweet about their losses and stuff, but like you can't say like every NFT collector, everybody that has bought like a considerable amount of NFTs, right, will tell you that there are some, right, that like the floor price really reduced and like that's just it, the money wasted. So Thames, I know you've complained about it, but it happens. Your money can just go, right? That's just how it is, right? But who to trust? It's not something that you can pinpoint. It's not something that like you can have like a physical, or it's not something that you can like put logic behind. But there are people that you've seen on your TL that you say, oh yeah, these people like really tweet about it. And you should not ignore your Discord channels. And Twitter is a very great space, and especially like, you know, spaces like these NFT spaces that have like a lot of experienced people there, people that have, that know what they are doing, right? Like not just anything you see on the TL. And also do your own research. Like you shouldn't just wait to be spoon-fed everything. Like, oh, somebody's just going to tell you, oh, buy this, buy that, buy that, buy that, buy that. Like you can be lucky to have something like that that's like really, really, really experienced and like knows what they're doing, right? But like it's not every time that somebody's going to be around for you, because you're not a baby, you're not going trying to like be spoon-fed everything. So do your own research on everything, see what you feel like. Sometimes it's not just about you know, flipping them to like make more money and stuff. Sometimes you can like have sentimental value to them, like, and just say, oh, I really like this stuff, I really want this to be mine, like I relate to this, I fuck with this heavily. And then like, yeah, just like that. I mean, I'm trying to rush everything I have to say because, you know, Sham invited me up here and like, you know, so I didn't want to. So yeah, so I have like a meeting and stuff, and yeah, I would get the record, I would just get the link from her later. And yeah, thanks. So
thank you, brother.
Yeah,
I appreciate you for coming through. I've just followed you now as well, so thank you so much. I appreciate that. I know there's a few other speakers as well that wanted to speak. I'll go RR, Sham, then Ilhan. If there's anyone else, please raise your hand as well. But go ahead, RR.
Yeah, I just wanted to say a lot of people didn't, no one really touched on it, but the most important thing that most people should know about this space is, I would say as a developer, 95% of NFT projects are scams. Right? They're just pump and dumps, you know. Majority of the projects that are here are ran by the same people. You know what I mean? And a lot of people do get tricked. Like you'll see a project come out and then they'll drop, it'll go shoot up in price. The next day it just goes flat, right? And then everybody lost money, right? And then they
I know what you mean by pump and dump, but can you explain what you mean by that for other people?
Yeah, so basically what happens is, if you're really in this space, right, you'll know that majority of the big accounts, all they do is promote NFT projects, which means they get paid, right? So there's like a good like 50 people, they get paid to promote these projects, and then they'll receive like maybe like 3%, 4% each. They'll all promote the project. Once it sells out, they take their money and they run. The project goes dead, and then they get on to the next project, right? It happens very frequently. A lot of projects want to be the next Bored Apes. No, they were the first one. They're kind of like the blue chip. And then there's other little ones that kind of try to do the same thing as they did, but then they really can't, right? So I tell people, stay away from PFP projects, right? That is the number one thing that I tell people to stay away from. And the reason why I tell them to stay away from it is because that's what I work on. I have clients all the time that says, hey.
Sorry, again. What is a PFP project? Profile pic, but explain what that means, what you mean by that.
Okay, yeah. So a PFP project is a profile picture, which is like, so like my avatar right now, it's one that I created. But it's usually like 10K, 9K, 8K, 7K, anything in the thousands, right? Or even up like 900, right? So their biggest promise is that they're going to build community. And then community as in like, okay, a 10,000 community, 3,000 community. Or they're going to do something for some type of charity, right? Like X amount of money goes to charity. If you know about cryptocurrency, the biggest scam coins of like what, 20, I think 20 was like charity coins, right? So I tell people all the time, like when you're buying into something for the, in the thousands, you're going to get scammed 9 times out of 10, right? Unless it's like a big brand, then you can kind of hold them accountable. But majority of the people out here, you can't, right? So a lot, I'm going to keep it short. Don't trust anybody out here. A lot of people be like, hey, buy into this project. And the only reason why they're telling you that is because they bought into the project. You'll never hear me saying, yo, you should buy into this. I tell people don't buy into PFP projects, right? So, and the reason why I say that is because $600 is not cheap to lose. $800 is not cheap to lose. $1,000, $5,000, $10,000 is not cheap to lose, right? So, I'll kind of end there.
Thank you so much for that. That was really, really important. And I love how I mentioned a few acronyms and I appreciate you for explaining what those meant as well. So we are going to, sorry, tell us, can you mute yourself, please, brother? We are going to, I do have a cue. So Ilhan, how are you doing, sister? Do you want to go ahead? Ilhan? All right, cool.
Yes, I'm right here.
Oh, go.
Yeah, how you doing, sis? Oh, I'm good. Tamsin, I see you doing another team. No, I'm sorry.
I see you shooting that shit. Go here.
You know what I mean? You're out here. But Sham.
You know how we do, Ilhan.
You know how we do. Hey, I saw that Jess has the NFT now. I was so shook. I was like, what? And I didn't even help her. Like, I felt so bad asking y'all.
But anyway, continue.
No, seriously. Anybody who's like in tech or like familiar with art, like me, just don't feel like you're bothering me. I can definitely like at least point you to the right direction.
You're bothering
and
her.
R is at a depth, but we're gonna ignore him. He's like a scammer, low-key. But Pawn is also another scammer. But anyway, now that we can move forward, the only thing people haven't said so far is like, you just have to remember that NFTs and the whole NFT space, it's really just about like community, and you're gonna keep hearing it. Community, community, community. All it is that don't. Everybody comes into this space thinking, okay, I can sell my shoelaces. I can sell my photography. I can sell my hats, right? They're focused on that, not really long-term, to be honest. So what happens if you sell it? What happens if you don't? Like, what are you trying to really do? But I would say that the reason why everyone keeps emphasizing community is that the most important thing is the people, honestly. So just on your timeline, you're going to slowly follow people. A lot of them will be people in your stage, like learning or, you know, other artists. And that's how you're going to find the best, like, alpha or the most valuable, which is, like, which projects to pay attention to, what actually to do, right? But I would literally just be a turtle when it comes to all of this, right? Because that's how you mitigate the whole, oh, I got scammed. Did you really? You put your money in it. You signed it. Like, you were 100% excited. Now that you deleted your tweets, does not mean you got scammed. I'm sorry. Like, you just did not pan out.
Dang, Ilhan, that's cold.
I'm sorry.
Ilhan, that's exactly what I did.
Exactly. Like, I know. Like, usually I take my time with everything, right? But this time it kind of paid off because I was so slow to minting to anything. But I tell you, like, you won't get it until you actually do it. So don't even ask somebody, hey, how do you, just get it, get your hands dirty. And then if you run into a roadblock, then you say, hey, it's kind of like tech, you know? Don't say, how do you become a developer? Just ask for the specific question. But yeah, that's what I would tell you. Is like, nobody tells you that, but it's really about the people. And once you start making those slow connections, and Twitter Space is the best way to do it, you start building your own community. Now you have people that are actually cheering you on, or, you know, you know your way around, you know who you're going to be going to for advice, you know this, you know that. That's just the slow building part, honestly. And then you will literally, it will, like, you not only will be worrying about, oh, I gotta mint this, but also what opportunities are here? Could you be a community leader? Could you be this? Could you be that? Why don't you create a really inclusive collection? But of course it will be meaningless if you don't have the team. So it's like everybody that you'll ever work with will probably be the people that you actually meet and connect with. And so it's like, I would honestly put heavy emphasis on the people, and then just put everything else like on the side, honestly. Just be like, okay, who do I F with in this space? Who's actually valuable? And that's it. And that's literally all it is. No one told me that ever, but that's all it is. Like, just help people, be genuine, share your art, but don't be rushing to mint anything either. Just like connect with others, and just that's about it, honestly.
Thank you for that, Johan.
Okay, Johan, on the mic.
The rudeness.
Guys, I want you all to know as well, if you're in this space, you know, we have fun on this space, you know. These are quite serious topics, so it's a bit crazy if we just kind of keep it stiff-faced, and it'll just get boring. So we're going to have a bit of fun, so bear with us when we're having moments of banter. That's just our personality shining. But Ilhan, you're deep, man. How are you going to say about deleting the tweets? I deleted those tweets so fast. Oh my goodness.
Oh my God, no, you don't understand.
Ilhan, I told him to get off OpenSea. I told him to get off OpenSea, I swear.
I saw that. I saw
that. You know what the funniest thing is? Like, even in security, people will say, like, I got hacked. And then they'll, you know, they'll get a lot of sympathy. But if you really look into it, I'm sorry, you didn't get hacked at all. You kind of, like, got scammed, but, like, in your own way. You gave somebody a seat space. And it's really bad because I sympathize with them. But at the same time, I want to tell them, like, yo, this is just one mistake. You're going to learn from it. But everybody, I swear, like, if they get rugged, they're like, I got hacked. The team did me dirty.
Ilhan, what does rugged mean for those that don't know?
Oh, yeah. So rugged basically means, like, a project that was from the get-go. The whole premise of it was to just take people's money. That was all it is. Even if they give you a roadmap. So that's why, like, RR talks about, like, team, yes, this, that, because it's really like, if you have a good team, then even if they rug pull everybody, they just have a lot to lose. They have a long, everybody that I really like in this space has a 5-year, 10-year, like, you can tell they're here to stay. Like, who cares if I don't sell my collection? I'm here to stay. I'm gonna onboard more people, and we're gonna make magic later, like, you know what I mean? So it's like getting rugged, it's like it stunts people's growth, because it kind of makes them question everything, because, you know, they lost money.
But it's basically when you get scammed and they pull the rug from under you, basically. That's
exactly.
That's the term rugged comes from.
That's why when Twitter Spaces acts up, I say we got rugged.
I got hella rugged.
You got rugged.
I'm going to tell you all about my rugging. I'm going to tell you all about how I got scammed. Bro, please be patient. We're literally having a free-flowing conversation, please, all right? We'll get to you, I promise. We'll get to you. Just show some patience, brother, please. Yeah? Yeah, so we're going to talk about how I got rugged a little later. But I think Uchelis really, really needs to speak. So I think that was you. So go ahead, speak, since, you know, you can't wait. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm actually here.
That is shade.
No, go ahead. All right, you have the floor.
What I wanted to say is, it's really an inspiring session going on here. And I think it just happened at the right time. I have a dev background, and why I was very curious about NFT, I just want to make it like an experience so everybody can probably learn from that. First of all, I was worried about how the NFTs were looking first time, because they were not looking very nice. So I was worried, why would somebody actually buy something looking very ugly like this at a particular amount of money? And so at some point I start figuring out that this is not about being good. I don't know what the psychology around the looks on the NFTs, but now I was worried, is it just for artists? Was it really meant for people to actually draw or paint and stuff like that? So as a coder, I was like, can I actually make this myself? can this be automated? Why I'm saying it is because some people, if you're not an artist, how do you now really come into the NFT space? Now, just like RR said, everything that he said is actually, I'm giving like 100%. If everything that's happening there, it's something you need to, first of all, really need to understand how these things work. And then you need to also have done some crypto transactions for the first time, because if you've actually landed on a good project, now you can also lose money without knowing, probably because of the fees that comes around it, probably because of the asset you're trying to use to buy that. If you don't know how the crypto space works, maybe how Ethereum can be different from different type of Ethereum. Maybe you have an Ethereum that is wrapped or that is coming from the Binance part, that is not coming from Ethereum itself specifically. You end up locked up somewhere. You don't know what to do next. Now, at first, what happened to me was after doing all the due diligence, because it's actually you that have to do the due diligence. You have to go find out. Nobody, you're not going to blame anybody, because it's your money that is going to go eventually. Because if you bring in a friend, so let's buy this NFT, and probably you guys fail, you're going to blame the guy. But if you succeed, you're going to say, okay, you're not going to worry about that. So it's actually something you have to do by yourself. I went into the research. I did all the research. I also thought, look about how I can actually create one, because as a dev, that's where I want to know. I figured there's a way you can actually, because I was worried, how can you create 10,000 copies of an NFT, because they are all unique. Now, codes can actually do that. That is sorted out. Now, how do I now buy into this NFT that's already there, probably making money and all of that? Now, money is actually what the first thing that people have in mind going into NFT, because the way crypto has been happening. Now, that is where the scam comes in, because people know that you want to make money. There's a lot of scam NFTs, like 90% of them are there to be to take your money, right? And now what happens is that once they do the listing or the minting, and the minting is done and it's sold out, probably one person can actually buy about how many copies if it's, and then probably dump it on other people, and then the price will lapse. It's something that everybody that wants to really jump in at probably must have done a crypto experience, so that you know how these things work. Because NFT is actually a crypto, is a token. Now, just that is a unique type of token that you cannot really exchange for the other. And it's an image, because people normally ask you, is an image, is an MP3, is a video that anybody can download. So why would I actually buy that? The reason is because you are trying to claim the owner by because that particular object or digital art is actually locked with an ID that you are the owner in the blockchain, meaning that you are just like a digital owner, that you have a proof that you own it by, probably because of the token attached to it. But anybody can download, but if that someone else bought at $1 million, you probably use that profile picture. And then it's just that you're not the real owner by the way blockchain works and assigns you the owner. Now, the first NFT I bought was just one. As a dev, I didn't want to go throughout money. Then the night I bought the NFT was my most horrible night, because it was very expensive. I drew completely. And I was like, I decided to bring in my friends so that we can actually do this transaction. A lot of people put that on the transaction because the money was very much, right? But why I subscribed was because I looked at the project. I looked at the devs. There are some devs in the project. And what the project is doing is, I'm not trying to advertise, I'm not going to mention the name, but it actually helps you to, it does a lot of artificial intelligence analytics about all the NFT that people are listing in different platforms and different platforms like website and stuff. Because if you go to CoinMarketCap, you see NFTs that are coming up, you know, see the upcomings, you go to rarity tools and stuff that shows the rarity of a particular NFT and the qualities and stuff. So this particular group of people that is building this particular stuff is giving you everything, analyzing all the stuff in one platform. Now, the NFT that they're actually selling is a premium access to the platform. So you can't actually access the platform without having the lifetime access, which is like another thing that actually you can apply to NFT. So NFT can actually be, let's say you have a project and you want people to access the app by having the NFT.
Sorry, Uchalis, sorry, bro. I don't mean to be rude, but could you wrap up, please, and get to your point, please? Thank you.
So what I'm trying to actually say is that it's important that we make research, understand how this thing works, and then understand the crypto part of it, so that when you are going to probably buy your first NFT, you're not going to lose a lot of money, because a lot of money comes by, okay, you set a price of an NFT and then you probably want to change it again. You're going to lose money because you have to cancel and start afresh. These things all comes with money. And when you calculate all the money you've spent, and if the project falls down, you're going to lose it. These are all the things that you need to avoid, you know, when you're jumping into the space, and do your own research by yourself. Don't really, and also focus on the chat. Sorry, I'm taking too much time. Focus on the Discord chat. You're going to figure out what is really going on, whether this thing is something you should continue or not. Because most of the time you hear from the people that are there just for probably to scam and all of that.
Thank you so much, mate. Appreciate that. Can we just remember, I've got quite a long queue of people that want to speak. So let's try to be clear and concise and get to our point. But I appreciate you, brother. Sham, did you want to say something? Go ahead, my co-host.
Yeah. So firstly, I just wanted to say welcome to everybody. If you're not already, please go and follow Thames. But if you go in his bio and you click the wholesome underscore NFT, there's about 450 people in here. Let's get behind him. Let's support him. And, you know, he'll be educating so many people from the beginning, like myself. Secondly, if you guys go on the top, there is the Tech UK Masterclass. There is literally only a few tickets left for the early bird prices. So if you want to take advantage, please do. Thirdly, I will be dropping people down, apart from certain people that we're going to keep on stage because of certain reasons, just because we want to try and get through a lot of questions. Ilhan, Porn, Jess, Matt, RR, please don't worry. You guys are staying on stage. And then just I've actually got a question for Matt, actually, or Thames, or anybody else that can answer this. So for me, I'm a beginner, and I love the way Matt explained how he explained it to Jess in layman's terms. For me, I've only recently even become a, I didn't even know what coin, I was like, how do you buy crypto, right? And if it wasn't for Thames and he explained it everything to me, and you know, you download certain things and whatever it is, I wouldn't have even known. Now that I know it, because it's been broken in layman's terms, I'm really adamant to kind of go and do my own research and things like that. With regards to NFTs, I love the way Matt, you explained it as a digital product rather than a physical product, right? If you just look at it that way. So the way I see, and I apologize if this sounds funny, is a bit like an eBay. Yeah. So you kind of put a digital format. So I want to ask a question. Would you advise for a beginner to sell the digital asset or whatever it is, or to start by buying it first? If that's a silly question, please let me know. But I'd really appreciate that, because I've got quite a lot of ideas, and I just really want to understand it. Thank you.
So I would recommend that you buy NFTs for, and honestly, don't think it's silly. Your comparison to eBay, that's what it is. You'll go on these NFT marketplaces and you'll see auction. Like, you'll see auction. People bid on NFTs. So there, I like to sort by buy now, because I'm not from the bit, because that's that. So I'll share this quick story, that because I really don't like to drag stuff out. I want to keep the space flowing. So if you bid on NFTs as an auction, you actually lose gas fees, because if you lose the gas fee, I mean, if you lose the auction, you lose the gas fees. So I never bid when it comes to buying NFTs. I always click the buy now filter. Let me buy it. Give me my NFT. We go about our business. So your comparison to eBay is actually spot on, because there's buy now, then there's auction. I would always recommend people to buy before selling, because buying is way more easier than trying to sell, because you would have to list, you have to know what price the floor is, and it gets very, very technical. So buying an NFT is easier than selling one, for sure.
Go ahead,
Yeah, so my advice is going to be a bit different. I would say try to sell one, because and the reason why I say that is when you're trying to sell something, you don't lose money. But when you do buy NFTs, you do lose money if you don't know which one is the right one to buy, because of the floor price and all of that stuff that comes with it, right? And then a lot of people don't know how to do their own research. They'll see that a Discord has 90,000 members, when in reality it has only 500 members, because the rest of them is bots. Right. So, yeah, I tell people to try to figure out how to sell it. And the reason why I say that is because if during your journey of trying to sell it, a lot of your answers get questions get answered, so that you'll get a clearer picture of how this space works out. And then you don't really have to lose your money.
Go ahead, Matt. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, I was going to throw in, but if you have no NFTs to sell, you know what I'm saying? What do you, you know what I'm saying? What do you, you have to own an NFT first to sell one.
So, no. So if I can, go ahead. I'll let you two have the discourse. Go ahead, bro.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, so what I was going to say is, like, you can, like you said earlier, right? You can really make it, you can go on OpenSea or Rarible right now, right? And just go make an NFT. They have lazy minting where you don't have to pay the gas fee, and then you can list it, right? So that's the reason why I would say, like, try to go and, like, you can literally just upload a picture on your camera roll, on your phone, and list that as an NFT, right? And through that process of you trying to sell it, you'll really learn a lot. Like, okay, what price should you list it at, right? Then you kind of go in and look at other people's collections, right? Because the first thing that we do, right, is that we try to compare what other people are doing and then look at their profile and see what's going on their page. And then you'll kind of get a lot of questions that you have answered just by looking at other people's stuff. And then you go do more research, right? So that's kind of like my take on that. Go ahead, Tim. Sorry for cutting you off.
No, you good. Our only thing I would offer to that is this is a total newbie. Like, I'm telling you, like, not to insult anybody's attention, intelligence, but when people onboard into NFTs, I literally talk to them like they're 4 years old. You can ask Jess. I talk to them like they're 4 years old. So I would not even recommend anybody creating or uploading an NFT. Like, if you're totally coming into this space brand new, like, creating up, you know, RR did break it down like that, but it's way more. It gets like there's minute details that you have to go through before even going through that process. So, like, it's definitely like little baby steps. But
See. Thanks for that, Matt. And I see both sides of the coin. So I genuinely have started creating my own NFT range as well. I'll talk about that at a later time. Just watch this space. I will be announcing it soon. So I always whenever I think about something like a business, I always think to myself, be on the sell side, not on the buy side. That's my first sort of instinct as a business person, as an entrepreneur. Be on the sell side. What is it like to actually sell this thing? Because the hype is all about buying and selling. What if you're the person that created Bored Ape? And I know that's, you know, that's blue chip and etc., but someone had to have the idea, someone had to, do you know what I mean? So that's not to say we're all going to create Bored Apes or CryptoPunks or anything like that, but the point is I had the mentality to be on the sell side. Then comes Jess Lee or Jessica Davis, and then comes along comes Matt as well and says, actually, here are some good deals that you could actually get a steal from and you could actually buy into, and some really reputable ranges. And I'm like, hell yeah, let's do this. So I go in from a buyer's perspective as well. So I've now seen both sides of the coin. As a buyer, I learned so much. And also as a seller, I've learned so much. I've learned how hard it is to design things. I have graphic design skills, Photoshop, Illustrator, whatever, but I'm not a designer. It's kind of different to be able to design and having the core competence as a designer. So that was difficult as well. Then also having the concept, then also finding a way to build utility, recognizing that I need to build a community, all the other, there's so many elements that you need to think about as a buyer, then as a seller. Then as a buyer, I have to think about, okay, am I buying value? Do I believe in this product? Are they verified? And in that space, I think I've made like 10 investments in the NFT space as a buyer, and three of them were dud. And one of the dud ones, you know what? I'm giving you lot spoilers now. I'm not gonna give spoilers. I'm gonna have a chance to actually tell you how the hell I got scammed from three or four of my NFTs. It's funny as hell, but I learned from it. I'm not gonna lie, I was in pain. I was in severe pain. Early in the morning, I felt it hard.
I told you to go to sleep.
You did tell me to go to sleep. So it is my fault. So I should have listened to Jess and went to sleep. But I was like, nope, I've got to buy these NFTs, yo. Anyway, so I've learned so much from being on both sides. So I don't think there's a losing side. As long as you're someone who's into learning and into growing and into really, like, don't just pile into it like a headless chicken. Do your due diligence. Have some safe people around you. Now I know I can't get scammed in that same way. Does that mean I can't get scammed in any way? No, hell no. Scammers are always trying to be a step ahead of the game. So having a community
Someone said that earlier. It's super important. Having a community, a tribe. Hey, Matt, have a look at this. Hey, Jess, have a look at this. Hey, Sham, Porn, Ilhan, have a look at this. What do you lot think? Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start a WhatsApp group, yeah, or a Telegram group, so we can share NFT projects. I think that will be super helpful. If you do want to join that, DM me and I'll add you to the Telegram group as well, just so you can have access to these projects. With Telegram, people don't have to have your phone number, so download the app.
No, seriously, Thames, that would be brilliant. That is the kind of community you want to create. Yeah, people you trust. You want to first keep it to people you really trust, then slowly expand based on like that person's, you know, ability to add value and blah blah blah.
Exactly. So I'm definitely going to create a Telegram group for the people in my sort of, I call them my mastermind, the people you see on the stage, Fumi, Ilhan, Porn, Matt, RR, Jess, Sham, Thames, and then we are going.
I don't know about Porn though, but yes.
Yeah, that guy is a scammer, man. Anyway, be careful. Buyer beware. But on a more serious note, this community is so important. So I see both points from a buyer's perspective and also from a seller's perspective. We've had a couple of people that have been waiting for a while, and I want to welcome Fumi as well, who just joined the stage. Fumi is part of the family as always. But what the order is going to be: Ademola, Dells, Jess, and then Fumi. I won't interrupt you, so I'll go for Ademola first, and then Dells, you can just jump in after Ademola. Go ahead, Ademola.
All right. Good evening from here. Thanks, Thames. I appreciate the opportunity. And sorry about your experience. Sorry to hear my experience, but I guess it's not a different experience or a new one in the whole, blockchain space, crypto space. I've gotten a lot of burning still on my fingers. But yeah, my question, I've been reading a couple of things and listening to detain, and I must tell you, I've been held back basically because of guests and all. So, but one thing that I'm gaining from here that is encouraging is that, okay, yeah, it's something meaningful. There are some reasonable projects that are coming up and are coming under NFT. But my question here is, can someone just help to tell the difference between, or that's if there's any difference between smart contracts and NFTs? Because I think someone earlier mentioned something about having legal.
Yeah, that was me.
So I don't know. Is there a difference between smart contracts?
Allow me to explain. While I'll explain this, I'm also happy for some of the other guys on the stage or girls on the stage to jump in as well. But a smart contract, NFTs consist of smart contracts. So what sits behind an NFT is a smart contract. They work hand in hand. And the smart contract basically stipulates what the NFT can and can't do. So for example, when it comes to the royalty that the NFT creator gets when it's sold on, that sits inside the smart contract. So for all perpetuity, if you have created an NFT, every time that NFT gets sold, the creator gets a cut from that, if you state that in the smart contract. Another example, if you're a musician and you have you want to give people access to exclusives or access to you, but you also want to monetize that later on, so you can say in the smart contract, if you buy this NFT, you have 6 months of X, Y, and Z, 6 months of new releases, 6 months of live sessions. After those 6 months, you have to start paying a subscription to continue getting access to those concerts or whatever. That also sits inside the smart contract. So a smart contract sits inside the NFT, which sits in the blockchain. It's kind of a derivative. So smart contract, yeah. NFT, blockchain. Go ahead.
A demo. Yeah. You don't want to ask the question? Do you own an NFT?
Yeah.
So you have NFTs already?
Yes. Not much, but just a little of them, just some of them that I picked randomly or were recommended. Yeah.
When did you... So you're a newbie? Would you consider yourself new to the space?
Yes.
Okay. How would you, knowing the difference between a smart contract and NFT, how does that help you right now?
Okay, so the thing is, I actually just asked based on the conversation. Like, I just was following and listening. But I think someone made a comment. Ordinarily, I thought all we had around NFTs were more of assets being preserved in digital format and then valued and then probably can be exchanged and converted or liquidated to any form of funds and all. But when I was getting some info around, okay, some form of agreement, or someone mentioned something like even wedding certificates and all that, I was like, okay, like I didn't see that side of it from all that I'm learning. So yeah, that was.
I'm not making you feel bad about your question, but what I was trying to get at by asking you that is, this is how sometimes when people get onboarded into the space, they consume too much information. And as intelligent as anybody can be, sometimes knowing too much is also a problem. Not knowing enough is a problem. Knowing too much is a problem. Me, I drive an automatic transmission vehicle. I don't know how to drive a manual transmission vehicle. I will never drive a manual transmission vehicle. As a matter of fact, a lot of auto manufacturers are discontinuing manual transmission vehicles. I don't care to want to learn about a manual transmission vehicle because I'm never going to drive a manual transmission vehicle.
Yeah, you know what I'm with this?
now that Tim's broke down the smart contract to you, now you know what it is. What are you going to do with this information? Are you going to develop an NFT project code? Probably not. Right? Well, be honest. Probably not. Tell.
But I get you. I get you.
Okay, yeah, okay. No problem. See, no problem.
Yeah.
I love what Matt said. However, I will respectfully have to disagree slightly, even though I love what you said. Only because I think sometimes if we're not gonna spend an hour on smart contracts, it's okay for someone to ask a question like that, get an answer. I want people to feel free to ask, and we're just gonna answer it as best as we can and move on. But to Matt's point, not everything is relevant now, if that makes sense. But we don't know the levels of different peoples in the room. Some people may have been well researched. Others may be beginners. So there's a mix. There's bound to be mixed levels of people in here. So any question is welcome. But to Matt's point, not every question is going to help you in this game immediately. But just it's good. Some things are just good to know anyway.
Can I actually add on to that? So I'm a smart contract developer, right? And then I make NFT collections. I will tell you, majority of the reasons why people get scammed is because they buy an NFT and then they don't go verify the smart contract. You know what I mean?
Ooh.
You can buy an NFT right now and then I can insert malicious code and then wipe out your little MetaMask account wallet, right? So if you have all your NFT, you see it all the time, right? People get their NFTs hijacked, scammed, stolen. And
not
then,
my little wallet.
Yeah, or like yesterday, there was like a huge OpenSea exploit. People were listing their NFTs on OpenSea. And then like somebody sold their Bored Ape for 0.77 ETH. That's less than what, so it was about $2,000. And then the guy resold it for $200K. And the reason why was because he decided to list his NFT on OpenSea and then he didn't cancel it correctly. And then the smart contract executed because it's still said that it was listed, right? So if you want to get in this game, you know what I mean? That's why I tell people, like, you should learn how to create it, learn how to just be able to read smart contracts because this is your money, right? If you're holding on to something that costs $200K and it gets stolen, you're going to be sick to your stomach and you're probably not going to pull up anymore. That's all I'm going to say.
Security has been bothered.
Y'all would never see me again.
Security has been bothered a lot, and I'm sure Tim's will share his story later. When it comes to security, I'm going to be honest with you guys. Somebody set it up here earlier. I forgot. I think it was Tim's. A lot of the people that get hacked is not actually hacked. It's really, a lot of it is social engineering. People being negligent, like negligent, negligent, negligent. If you connect your MetaMask to a mentioned website,
100% agree.
It's not physical hacks. It's just people waiting on you to be negligent. That guy that got his Bored Ape stolen, he could have paid the ETH to delist it. It was listed up there for 7 months. 7 months went by. He didn't pay the ETH to just delist it. And then he runs saying, oh my God, OpenSea got hacked. No, you didn't delist your Bored Ape. And somebody bought it. That's what happened. It had nothing to do with it. It was negligence. A lot of this stuff that you hear about scam and stuff is pure negligence.
Yeah, but the reason why I said that is because of the smart contract, right? He didn't read the smart contract. He didn't know how to read it.
But he knew how to cancel it.
Yeah.
I look, guys, as much as I know about NFTs, I don't know how to read a smart contract. If my things get stolen, you think I'm going to go on and let me backtrack where the last wallet it went to? No, I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing about code. I don't know how, when it comes to smart contracts, I just know how to go on Etherscan. I put in my wallet address and then Etherscan reads the smart contract. Etherscan will tell me what's in my wallet. Etherscan will tell me what wallet came from where. There's a nice website called etherscan.io. You plug in your wallet and it populates everything that's happening with your wallet. So there's services for that, even if you don't know. But a lot of the scams that happen is really pure negligence. A lot of people don't like to admit to that, but a lot of it is negligence.
Sorry, can I ask one last question?
Yeah, go ahead. One last question.
All right, thank you. Yeah, so the question is I would direct this to Matt because he seems to be very knowledgeable in this area. So I want to ask, how exactly would you advise someone in case you want to do a bit of due diligence to probably check for the right or the NFT you want to go for, you want to probably buy? Do you think it's best to do it based on recommendation, or we just depend on people and what they suggest? If you want us to do due diligence, how would you give, if you're going to give a pathway to follow, more like some steps to follow, I would appreciate to know how to really check which is which, or which one to get and which one to run away from. Yeah, okay. Thank you. Yeah.
So I'm going to try to be as concise with this as possible. If yesterday when I was onboarding Jess, I said, go on OpenSea.com. I did not send Jess to go on ShadyNFTs.com. Okay. Start with one. If you're going to shop for NFTs, go to reputable NFT websites. If somebody tells you there's a Bored Ape, but you got to buy it on CriftyCrabs.com, and you go and connect your wallet to CriftyCrabs.com and you get scammed, that is your bad, okay? Because clearly that is not a reputable NFT website. Reputable NFT website, guys, listen up. Rarible, OpenSea, Foundation. If somebody says, oh, yeah, there's a great NFT project, but it's on GorillaToes.com, and you go connect your wallet to GorillaToes.com and you get scammed, that's your bad, okay? A lot of, I'm not saying OpenSea and Rarible and Foundation can't get hacked or scammed, and I'm not saying there's not a lot of bad projects on there, but
it's safer. Yeah.
Reputable. They're very reputable. Now, when you're on there, you will see that some projects have a blue check mark, which means they are verified. They're verified projects because there's a lot of copycat projects. So you'll see 5,000 crypto punks on OpenSea projects, but you'll see one has a verified check mark. You'll see a lot of Bored Apes, but one has a verified check mark. Just last night hit me up with, she was like, she showed me a Bored Ape. No, was it a Bored Ape? It was a CryptoPunk. I seen the price of that CryptoPunk, and I was like, that's not an original CryptoPunk. It was like $15,000 for a CryptoPunk. I was like, yeah, that's definitely not a CryptoPunk. Okay. And I said, look, this project,
I was about to get it.
Yeah, I knew you was gonna get it. But it was spelled exactly like the CryptoPunks. It had the whole collection, but there was no verified check mark. There was no blue check mark. OpenSea has blue check marks, so that's another good way to tell if the project is verified or not. But yeah, you could just, a lot of it, I'm not saying small websites, small projects, small NFT marketplaces can't exist, but it's probably better to stay away from them as a newbie.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for that, Matt. No problem. Thank you for coming through, Ademola. I really appreciate you. I'm going to move on now to Dels. Dels has been waiting. It's going to be Dels, then Fumi, then Jess, then Ilhan. Oh, gosh, Pan as well. Sheesh. But yeah, that's
damn, why do I hate Pan so much?
Nah, that's my guy, man. I love him. It's all love. Don't worry.
Because he's Pan is, yeah, he's something else. But I do want to give a shout out to Keisha in the audience. She's big in the NFT space as well. Awesome person.
Keisha, come up. Come up, yeah, Keisha.
Shout out to her.
Cool. All right, go ahead, Dels.
Yeah, so hey guys, great space, you know, shout out to you guys for putting this together. I'm Dels, probably like 10 years in, like, you know, figuring out innovation on different levels. Currently at a team called Thrill, and what we do is sort of like work on Web3 projects, like, you know, building a virtual world in the metaverse, building like a platform for minting audio NFTs, and also building like a platform for agricultural trade, like using NFTs. So really more on like the builder side of things. So I think I just wanted to drop some value, some gems, you know, just pretty much, you know, for guys who are looking to get into like the NFT space and like, you know, acquire like, you know, blue chip, you know, the ones that are going to be like much more valuable, like down the line. I think like, you know, pretty much everyone has said everything, you know, pretty much like, you know, community is dope. I think I'll just go more around like, you know, the side of like uniqueness. I mean, like, you know, if you're looking for like a new NFT to cop, I mean, after doing like your due diligence, I think like, you know, if you have like an eye for like good art, like I could see someone with like a Dead Fellas NFT in this space, like, you know, something that's a bit different from, you know, it's not, I mean, like there's already like a billion apes. I don't really see any other like apes coming through and like, you know, being like, you know, the newest community. So I think like looking out for like, you know, new art styles, like really, really impressive that don't look exactly like everything else, isn't like pixelated, isn't like, you know, doesn't represent like another crazy kangaroos or like, you know, bored, like, you know, bananas, or like, you know, all these like typical like run of the mill like NFT styles. And I think like the third thing would be like, you know, utility in the metaverse. So I like kind of like to see NFTs as like, you know, virtual assets that, you know, will have value when we move on to like, you know, metaverse, where like, you know, more people start to have like most of their assets as virtual rather than physical. And, you know, it's more of like a sustainability driven narrative that like, you know, having things, owning things virtually helps the earth better than having them in the physical version. And so like when you start to think of things from that point of view, you look around you and see like, okay, who's making, like, you know, when you see like Adidas or like, you know, Nike, you know, partner with any brand, or like you see any fashion brand, or you see anything that has to do with like helping avatars. So things like land in the metaverse, things like pods or houses that people can stay in, things like, you know, clothes. I would say that like those are like really, really cool NFTs to be looking out for. I would also say like, you know, things that have, you know, specific use cases in specific virtual worlds or, you know, games, you know, because you know that like, you know, for this particular project to rug you, they're going to have to entirely like delete the code they've used to build the game. So it's like, you know, looking for things that are built on like a very, very solid foundation. I think most people, when they think about NFTs, they think about like, you know, PFP projects. And, you know, there's way more to NFTs that I think like PFPs are just like, you know, the ticket to the communities. Like, you know, you get into a dope community. That's amazing. And I think like, who I was speaking about communities, like, yeah, that's really cool. But, you know, it's really, really, really into like, you know, 10, 20 years from now, if all of us are going to a virtual space all the time, because that's pretty much around the corner. Like, all that has to happen is like Apple or like some really cool drop of VR headsets. I promise you, we'll be having most of these conversations in 3D. And if you look at it from that point of view, you start to think that like, what assets will people be using in these 3D spaces if these 3D spaces are on the blockchain? And I know that like, you know, Matt's, you know, spoke about like mostly ETH-based platforms for buying NFTs, but I'd like to say that like, you know, there's really cool ones on Solana as well. And, you know, most of the ones on Solana are like, you know, the ones that are going to be much more valuable, like, you know, 20 years from now, because like Solana has hella builders, like people that are building every day. So they're not going to like, you know, rug you. You know, do your research as always, but, you know, when someone is building an actual world or like a product, a hardcore product, it's not for like a short-term thing. Like you'd see like their deck, their white paper, their, you know, so many things, and it's harder for them to rug you, especially if they're also doxed in the sense of like they've exposed the founders. You can go check their LinkedIns, you have more info on them. And I think like it's better that way. And, you know, it's better when there's someone you can hold their shirts. Like there's someone, like when everyone runs away, can actually go somewhere and be like, this is the thief that like stole my money. I think it's always better. That's what I see. Well, like, you know, that's just from my own point of view. But yeah, that's just pretty much what I wanted to say. Shout out to you guys for putting this together.
Awesome. Thank you for that, Dels. We're going to keep you up as well, because I think you're coming, you're spitting some hot fire, spitting some gems here. Who did I say was next? I'm really bad at queue management. I think it was Ilhan?
No.
It was Jess. No, go ahead, Jess. Oh, my bad. My bad, Jess. My bad. Go ahead.
The way Jess said no, that was very sus. But anyways, continue, Jess.
Thank you, Ilhan. You're so sweet, as usual. So I was, you know, really just trying to finish my story from, you know, 25 minutes ago. So what I was going to say is, so after my official onboarding with Matt, and we went through, you know, some of the tools and how to use them, the OpenSeas, the MetaMask, et cetera, how to transfer. We then walked through a couple different collections, and I decided I really liked this robot collection. Honestly, I wasn't really paying too much attention to the information. But the only thing I really noticed was that it was a verified collection because I saw the blue check. And then I went to check the other different pieces in the collection, and there was a lot of consistency. And we also checked like some of the owners of the collection as well. So that's how I kind of settled on the collection. But like I said, I wasn't really paying attention. So I bought it and then I tweeted about it because, you know, hashtag community. And so what ended up happening was Time Magazine, I guess NFTs page ended up retweeting me and CCing or whatever you guys say here. I'm new. the artist, Pablo Stanley, and then I guess the person who that piece in the collection was inspired by, which was Leah Lamar, which I didn't realize was it was her piece, but she is somebody who I used to go to her rooms on Clubhouse, and then she became the Clubhouse icon, which was really dope. But, you know, from this collection, I found out she also became Time Magazine's Entertainer of the Year for 2021. So this piece, like, ended up, like, I guess a couple people ended up resharing it. And so the next day I woke up and I bought it for, like I said, like $90, 0.03 ETH or 0.04 ETH or something. And then I woke up the next day and it was like half an ETH, and it ended up being like a $1,500 NFT piece. So I am crying for you, Thames. You know, my heart goes out to you, my brother. You know, we're going to fix this. We're going to get this bag. But yeah, my introduction to the NFT space, or like learning about the blockchain, I would say, was from trading and investing crypto. I hold some Solana, some a lot of it, well, not a lot, but some Ethereum, some Cardano. So I started hearing about some of these. So that's really why I was like asking all of my friends, everyone on stage who didn't help me learn about NFTs. But thank you, Matt, because you are really an angel and you helped onboard me into the NFT space. And now I'm telling everybody about it because you too can find utility in this industry. Thank you.
Not the shade.
All the shade, all the tea.
All right. You look funny. Cool. All right, we're going to move on. Go ahead, Ilhan.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I just wanted to reiterate. I probably should go after Pawn, actually. Yeah, Pawn, go ahead, actually.
Nah, don't tell me what to do, Ilhan. You go ahead. I just went. Let me see. So I wanted to ask about Alpha Groups, because, you know, somebody just DM'd me about them and he's like, yo, that's where all the info is at. And he's saying, if I want to get in and know the right people, I should get in an Alpha Group. But I'm like, you know what? I got to ask my people, because, you know, said person was like, hey, it's going to cost you one ETH to get in an Alpha Group. And I'm like, you know, that's, I ain't got no problem with the money. I just want to know what's going on, you know?
That sounds like a group of scammers right there.
Yeah, bro. What?
Well, I don't know nothing about no Alpha Groups, but I did want to finish what I was saying and provide some tips because I forgot. So this is relevant to your question, Pawn. So, you know, as Thames and I have talked through some of his learning pieces from the experience that he had, we have learned a little bit about, you know, how to validate some of these NFT projects. So, you know, you want to make sure that it's not only a project that's scarce and, you know, there's not a million of them being made, but think about the community like Ilhan and others have expressed, but also like Dells was just saying, what's up with the quality? Like, is it, you know, something that somebody made when they were, you know, doing some illicit things and just decided to upload to OpenSea, or does it look like someone really invested some time and quality into this? And what is the future of the project? You know, what plans do they have for growing and expanding and minting? And then also check out their social media, not just check if they are verified, and check, like Matt was saying, check out Etherscan, because that's where you'll get those receipts. You guys know I am the queen of receipts. I come with receipts for everything. So if you want receipts for your NFTs, if you're about to make a purchase and you're not sure if, you know, you're getting a quality product, you go to EtherScan, you check that address, and you make sure that it's legit. And, you know, like I said, I'm still new, so I am also learning and growing and making mistakes as well. So I am also open to feedback.
Thank you, Jess. I think that's a really good caveat, because everyone in this space is a newbie, really and truly, because no one has a monopoly on this yet. No one has all the knowledge, all the wisdom, all the ideas. We're all figuring out together. So I have created the Telegram group. It's in the Jumbotron thing. If you scroll, it's the second one, I think. So there's a link.
Jumbotron.
Is that what, that's what I heard it was called?
Yeah,
the scrolly thingy at the top. That's what I'm calling it.
The Jumbotron.
No, we could call it Jumbotron.
Cool. So it's a link to the Telegram group, so we can build this community and we can help each other out. We can share some ideas within that. Please, 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 no spam. No, you know, by all means, plug your stuff, but don't spam it like crazy and, you know, sort of make it all about, you know, it's, let's keep it wholesome. That's why I called it wholesome energy. Yeah.
If you spam, I'm gonna boot you.
I think you should do Discord.
Yo, go ahead, Punks. I still got that question up in the air. So what's going on with these alphabets?
I'm gonna get to that question. I want to let Ilion and Lefty go first, but I'm gonna ask you a question because I'm triggered by that. in a good way, that's gonna answer your question. Go ahead, Ilion and then Lefty. She just be having her hand
up.
Ilion.
Oh hi. Yes. I'm at work. I'm in meetings. Like, that's how dedicated I am to the NFT.
You a real one.
But yeah, so you know, we're out here. But I wanted to say, like, I know Jess earlier was nervous about something regarding like what if I lose my money or something. And I honestly, like, I don't know. Even all my investments go down, I don't bat an eye, because I just have these goals for 5 years, 10 years, you know? So for me, it's different. But for anybody else who's new, I would honestly, like, just don't spend money you need today. Like, don't do that. Don't spend money that you know you will hate to lose. Don't do that. Like, spend money that is frivolous to you, especially in the beginning. Don't be that person, I'm gonna put 1k and I expect 10k back. But what if that 1k is all you have? Like, what if that's your net worth, like Pawn, you know? Anyway, so we just want to be like careful. Honestly, how can you lose if all the money you're putting into this thing is like play money? You know, it's like your Starbucks money or like your monthly whatever money, right? Like, I just get confused when people freak out. I'm like, aren't you spending money you don't need? Because it's otherwise, I kid you not. The moment you're spending money you do need, pull back. Like, just don't do it. Don't do it. It's not worth it. I don't care. If Ilhan became a million overnight, who cares? Don't even pay attention to that. Just only spend money you need. I swear to God, if you follow that, then how can you lose? That's how I think about it. But yeah, shout out to everybody.
Awesome, awesome. So thank you for that, guys. So we do have a lot of people that do want to come up and speak and ask questions. I know Lefty's been waiting for a while. Thank you for your patience, Lefty.
Sorry. Just before you go, I just want to know, has Wen spoken so that we could just make space for someone else to come up, please, if that's okay?
Not yet, Sean. Thank you.
Okay, so no problem.
Nobody's going to answer my question?
Okay. No problem.
Sorry. I got you. I'm following the order. I think Lefty really had his hand up for a while.
What we're going to do, we're going to let Lefty speak, then we're going to let Matt answer Pawn's question, and then we're going to let Wen speak. So go ahead, Lefty. You're welcome.
All right. First, I want to say, you know, I think it's cool that we have a lot of like Africans and just Black people in this space. I think Web3 really opened that up for a lot of geniuses that didn't know how to express that. You know, it allowed that platform. And then anyways, with my question. So as far as project development, right, what are the things I should focus on? So I know, like, I need a smart contract development, you know, artists, and obviously community development. But when you're in the early stages, as in, like, I have everything on paper and not necessarily physically executed, what are the most important things? And how can you, like, organize that and execute in that type of way? If that makes sense.
Lefty, can you do me a favor? Ask that question one more time, please, just in simple terms.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so
when you have your project on paper and you're in the early stages, what are the most important things that I should be focusing on? Like, should I focus on artwork first or utility? No, I got
you. I'm with you. Okay. I think left in my opinion, as someone who's in the same position, is start with the end in mind. That's one of those seven habits of highly effective people by Stephen Covey. Highly recommend that book for anyone that's trying to achieve greatness. Start with the end in mind. So what is your goal? What are you trying to achieve? And be honest with yourself as well. If it's just a quick snatch and grab, then you're just as good as the scammers or the ruggers, to be mm-hmm. honest, when it comes to money. But if you're trying to build something long term, mm-hmm. what are you trying to build? Figure out what you're trying to build and then work backwards from there. So if to get here, to get there, I need to do this. To get here, I need to do that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I think for me, that's having that plan, having that sort of goal will actually help you achieve the utility. Some people start with utility, but what are users going to use the utility for? If you don't know what the end goal is, what the end in mind is, what the sort of the overall goal that you're trying to achieve is, what use is the utility? So, for example, Wholesome is going to be a world in a metaverse. I know that already. I know that Wholesome is going to be a wholesome world. It's going to be in the metaverse. People are going to be able to help, go there to help with mental health, go there to help with achievement of goals, go there to help with all sorts of stuff. Now I know what my NFTs are going to do because I know what the end goal is for Wholesome World. And I know what utility that NFT is going to serve within the context of Wholesome World, not just a piece of art, not just a digital image, or not just, you know what I mean? There's a whole world around what I'm trying to build. It doesn't have to be a world in the same way, but you just need to figure out what their end goal is. But I'd love to hear what other people think as well.
Yeah, definitely. I don't really want to talk too much about my project, but I will say that it's definitely going to be here long term, and it's definitely going to help a lot of people create wealth that they never thought that they'd be able to create. Just because when you think of wealth, you think of what? Old, rich, and, you know, I hope I don't offend nobody, but old, rich, white people, which is not true. Like, anybody can create wealth with the right education and with the right guidance, right? So, yeah, I definitely have the end in mind, but honestly, it's so, like, to me, important that it's low-key, like, scary. Like, damn, like, this is huge, you know?
No, it's very big. The more I think about it, the more I realize that, am I really passionate? Because if I'm not, it's such a big challenge. So, for example, you want to think about the end, then you want to think about the utility, then you want to think about the community, not in those particular order. So yeah. There's so many elements, you know, community, utility, and then also the actual NFT, what is that going to look like? What is it going to do? What sits within the smart contract? I know that's triggered Matt probably, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. As a creator in this space. But I'd love to hear, if there's anyone else that wants to give less of your thought, please pipe up now. I'm happy to hear from you.
Yeah, yeah. What I was going to say is... Oh, go ahead, Keisha, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, go ahead. You had
your... No, you're totally fine. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Sorry. Hi, everyone, GM. No, I just wanted to jump off with Tem's said. I think that was definitely a good approach in terms... I mean, me being in crypto and NFTs... Whenever I trade or get into anything, I always go in looking at how I'm going to get out, right? And the end goal of it and how it's all going to finish up. But I did want to point out one thing. I've been in the space for some time. I've been involved in projects. I'm invested in many projects. And one thing I just want to give you as a tip is to take it slow and do not burn yourself out with the passion that you have, because it will happen very quickly in this space. And do not offer your community more than you can chew. That is sometimes one of the biggest mistakes that a lot of projects make, is that they're offering you an empire. And then when things really do get to that point, they have no bricks to build, to build this castle. Mm-hmm. So just making sure that your foundation is 100% doable for you, but also doable for your community. And sometimes starting off with less is more in this space, 100%. And that just gives you more time and more flexibility for yourself to truly build slowly and surely what you want over time. I just wanted to put that out there in the sense of, I've seen it happen a lot. And even for me, I come in hard and I come in passionate and I want to give everybody the world. And then suddenly I can't. And the community, no matter how big you build it, they will come back at you for not giving them what you had promised. So that's just one little thing I wanted to say. But, you know, besides that, you go on and definitely bring the passion into it, but do not burn yourself out and take it slow.
Thank you. That was some great advice and something personal, too, that I need to remind myself with.
Yeah, I think it's like it's a personal reminder for myself that I say all the time, and I just say it to everybody because the space, you get burned out so quickly. Things are moving so fast. It's exciting. It's exhilarating. The technology is amazing, and everything that you can do, there, it's endless possibilities. But once you start telling people, yes, I'm going to do this and this and this, and then all of a sudden you can't provide or you have timelines that just didn't match up, and things start falling down fairly quickly. So I will always just say less is more sometimes and take it slow. And that gives you the flexibility to build and move as slowly and surely as you need to.
I love that, Keisha. That was so true. Thank you for sharing that. And it's actually helping me to reflect on my goals and my ambitions. And I think I'm always going to be someone that thinks big, but sometimes it's better to under-promise and over-deliver than to over-promise and under-deliver. So that's really, really helpful. RR wants to say something, and then Matt, you can go through as well after. Go ahead, RR.
No, like, yeah, she said it the best, right? A lot of people do promise things, and we see it all the time, right? You're in the space, you see it all the time, right? People people create play-to-earn games, and they don't notify everyone until after they sold out that the game's not going to come out until 10 years later, right? So it's just like, I agree with Keisha. And also, Lefty, if you're going to release a project, I would say just go out there beforehand, right? And then just kind of like not in these huge rooms, right? But try to find smaller rooms, so like 5 to 10 people, and kind of share your idea, right? So that you can kind of get a feel of, you know, like what people think of your project, right? Because that's going to be very important.
And I'm sorry, just to jump off of what Tem said in terms of, you know, under promise and over deliver. One great example of a project that did this, that even I was surprised, was Alien Friends. And I'll find a post and I'll put it up there. But Alien Friends, I bought a couple of them a couple months back when they came out. And they looked like they were a very simple project, very simple timeline. I definitely wasn't expecting them to go where they were. And then just week after week, they were just coming out with announcements and things that they hadn't even mentioned before. And everybody was just more and more excited that, like, wow, look at all these things they're coming out with and they had planned and nobody even knew. So that surprise just gave this uplift to the community. And, you know, they were minting at 0.02 and now they're above, you know, they're about a 3E floor and they got up to 4E, you know, because of that. And they had the simplest roadmap and a really good execution. So just something to think about as well.
Right. I just got a DM. Someone asked, like, you know, they weren't hating or nothing, but just a real question. They said, like, that's high level stuff. How do you plan on doing that? And that's a great question. So first, I want to say I'm not just like dreaming, right? Like, I actually own like cash flowing properties. Granted, it's not like an apartment complex. It's a house. But like, I'm in investment real estate. So like, I have like the foundation to actually make it happen, right? I have the resources. So I just want to throw that out there that I'm not like extra dreaming and like, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, even with that type of resource, like, it's still kind of scary because like, yeah, like, can I actually, it's massive, you know what I mean? But yeah, you know, I just, yeah, wanted to throw that out there. I'm not just like daydreaming this.
You got this. Listen, the only person you're accountable to really is yourself. So don't watch all the hate and all the doubt. Other people are going to doubt you, but just believe in yourself. Hold yourself accountable to achieve everything you want to achieve. But go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I don't want to feel punned like we forgot about when he was talking about the alpha groups. So the thing with the alpha groups is really just a cash grab, because when I hear a lot of people complain about how, you know, people are gatekeeping and stuff like that, we live in the 21st century. This is the greatest modern era of information that we will ever live in. It still mind boggles me when people be like, oh, what's the address to that place or how to get there? I'm like, bro, Google Maps. Like, look at your phone, put the address in Google Maps. It will literally tell you how to get there. So when it comes to sharing information and people saying how, oh, they got insider information about which NFTs are going to pop off and all that stuff, that information is widely available on the internet. If you look up most of these companies, yeah, I understand there is some insider information, people who actually work for the company and stuff like that. But if you do your due diligence and you do your research, there's ways you can get information without having to go through anybody or pay to get into a group that seven people know about, which they all Googled. You know what I'm saying? So those kind of alpha groups, I would definitely. And if you don't even know these people, why would you want to be in that group anyways? You know what I'm saying? I get invited to alpha groups all the time. I don't know y'all. Why would I trust anything y'all say? You know what I'm saying? I've never had a conversation with you guys. Why would I trust anything you have to say? You know, like we never connected. We never interacted over social media. Nothing. So why would I trust anything you guys have to say? You know what I'm saying? So I would definitely say build a rapport with people that you trust the information from, and then maybe get into a group like that, you know, and that could be your alpha group. But as far as information and gatekeeping of information, I think it's silly. People try to do it anyways, but if, you know, all this information is widely available on the internet. Everything I'm telling y'all, I learned from the span of 2014 to 2022. I'm still learning. Then that's because I Google. Like, I just research all day, every day.
Yeah, I love it. That's usually my approach to learning stuff too, but I think RR also had something else to add on to this particular thing. Can I go ahead?
Sorry, one second. Paul, did you want to add something, bro?
Yeah, no, I was saying, can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
I was saying RR had something to say when I first mentioned it, if he wants to still.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, RR, did you want to say something before we let Ren speak?
Yeah, all I was going to say is if anyone ever hits you up saying join a group and then you have to pay an entry fee, they're just going to take your money and run. So, yeah, that's just my advice on that. This space is filled with scammers and people preying on other people's greed, right? So they'll kind of pull you in by saying, hey, yeah, we know all of these projects are going to 10x. And you're like, oh, my God, yeah. Okay, you know, I've seen the news, you know, Bored Ape is, you know, sold for over $1 million, you know. So that's kind of how they reel people in. And then once you transfer the ETH, they're just going to run with the ETH, right? So, yeah, just be aware. Or if a lot of people, if you guys were originally in into crypto, like 2017, there was like this huge push for like pump and dump groups, right? They're like, hey, join our group. We're going to tell you which coins we're going to pump. And then it's the same thing all over again, but with NFT. So just be aware.
Awesome. Thank you. Cool. Thanks for that, RR. So Wen, thank you so much for being patient. How can we help you? What questions do you have?
Oh, well, thanks. Well, I have a couple of questions. First of all, I'm doing in satellite programming, basically in DAS. So I mostly design system. I'm new in terms in this domain of NFT, and my question is about what is the purpose of NFT after buying them, and what are the steps to buy the NFT? And which website is trustable for buying them? These are my questions. Thank you.
Cool. That was a few questions. The website, I think Matt mentioned the websites earlier. Oh, yeah. So OpenSea, Rarible. Go ahead, Matt. Go ahead.
OpenSea, Rarible Foundation. If you're a newcomer, do not go on these websites. Do not go on the three websites other than these websites. I'm telling you, if you're a total newbie into NFTs, Rarible, Foundation, OpenSea.
Which did you mention any Solana ones? Because I think it's always good to have a Solana one as well without those gas fees.
So thing with Solana is you have to set up a Phantom wallet, and that like, that gets complicated. So if you're just browsing NFTs going to be onboarded, most NFTs and I know somebody mentioned up here alternate blockchains, but the reality I'm not saying this is not going to change. But the reality of the NFT space right now, most NFTs are on Ethereum. Like, I don't care what high quality project that there's out there, most NFTs are on the Ethereum blockchain. Okay, you can find quality projects on Solana. You can find quality projects on Tezos. You can find quality projects on BNB. Most NFTs are minted and made and sold and bought on the Ethereum blockchain. That's the reality.
Okay, thank you, Matt. Can I DM you? Is it possible?
Yeah, man, I got like 50 DMs right now. Go ahead. Take a number. Go ahead.
Okay. Not take a number, then the sinister laugh.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming through. Jarrett, go ahead. And if you do want to speak, please raise your hand so that I can know who else wants to speak. And then we can bring some other people up who want to ask questions. Go ahead, Jarrett.
Yeah, I just want to ask Matt, what are your thoughts on Veeve, V-E-V-E, as a place to buy NFTs?
Like, yeah, it's another platform. People use it. I think you got to use Omi, or I don't know what the wallet is. But yeah, people use Veeve. A lot of these alternative marketplaces, I'm not saying they don't have high quality NFTs, but somebody who comes into the space, right? Somebody who's coming brand new to the space, I always kind of like lean them towards Ethereum, because that's where most of the NFTs are. That's where most of the NFTs that are bought and sold are. I always use this example. Everybody here at some point has had or heard of a BlackBerry. BlackBerry was super popular. Like, I want to show my age, but BlackBerry was super popular back in the day, right? And then of course Apple took it over, they're now like the top smart maker phone or whatever. Now, the reason why Apple and Google was able to dominate BlackBerry is because, one, the popularity risen because the developers for BlackBerry World, that was the app store for BlackBerry. The developers for BlackBerry World literally stopped making apps for BlackBerry World because nobody was downloading the apps for BlackBerry anymore. So the developers for those apps stopped making apps for BlackBerry World. So that contributed to the demise of BlackBerry, because if you log on your BlackBerry and you can't download the app for your BlackBerry, you're probably going to stop using the BlackBerry. I'm using this comparison to say most developers, they don't care where, you know, where they're going. All they do is follow the money. Oh, most people are on Ethereum. That's where I'm going to go buy and sell my NFTs. Most people are on Solana. That's where the majority of the money is going to go. So that's, if you want to dig deep and you really trust the Solana network, you really trust the Veeve network, you really trust the BSC network, you really trust the...
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was part one of a two-part space hosted by Thames. Let's talk NFTs. Diversity in NFT, women in NFT, Black NFT. Recorded on Wednesday, January 26th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Take advantage of their Terra Luna Intel report on Telegram, which brings you the hottest news and updates on all things Terra. Use the link in the show notes to find it. For more information, check out orbitalcommand.io. Terra Spaces appreciates their support. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. They say rapping is the gateway, bringing home great pay. Checking that replay, sing along and we say nobody gives a fuck around my way. I make about $3 for every 1,000 plays, so add it up and do the math on that. Financially speaking, why the fuck would anybody wanna rap? But in this reality, the money comes from doing shows. But then where's the money go when you can't do the shows? I guess you could rap on Cameo. I've been asking all my friends if I can rap on the patio. 6 feet, motherfucker, step the fuck back. Doing a little magic, pulling rabbits out the rucksack. Not everybody's always in it for the money. Looking like another crooked Sunday and I'm working Monday. So you know I ain't stressing, left debating great methods. Amazed to play Inception, the bass stay blessed.
See, even with these huge sums of overall royalties, the sums of money that go to the record label per playback can seem insultingly small. Many rights holders are making around three quarters of a cent each time someone listens to one of their tracks, leaving only some portion of that for the actual artist. Pennies per play. Until they can figure out how to turn a profit, their future will always be in question. But for now, investors see enough potential to continue to fund pennies per play.
Another day, another lesson. Living in the eighth dimension might be worth a little mention. Living in the Great Depression, got a real regal feel. Reeling in another sucker fish out to make a deal, just to make a motherfucker wish. Aw, shit, now you only got two left. You know what I wish? We didn't have any loose ends. You know what I miss? Listening to excuses. Now we're on the fence like we forgot how to choose. That's
what happens when people don't know what's true. In the dark, eating bullshit up like a mushroom. In the lunchroom, just trying to laugh it off. Meanwhile, foaming at the mouth like a rabid dog. Like a fake mating call at the zoo. It's looking like the view is getting disappointed too. I'm working on the new shit, trying to produce it. It's what I'm willing to go through when I'm making my music. Spaces.